This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Congratulations on making it to basically August now. Happy to have you on this journey with us. Later in this episode, we'll talk about your skin during the COVID pandemic and how wearing masks also affects those with hearing aids. But first, our news update. As COVID-19 cases surge across the country, the American Red Cross now has an emergency shortage of convalescent plasma, a type of blood donation collected from individuals who have recovered from COVID-19, containing antibodies that might help patients who are actively fighting the virus. Individuals who have fully recovered and received a verified COVID-19 diagnosis are urged to sign up to give convalescent plasma now by completing the donor eligibility form at redcrossblood.org/plasma4COVID. That's plasma, the number 4, and COVID. Regression in children is a normal part of childhood development, but in the age of COVID-19, experts say it's happening in a vast and more widespread way than normal. We go now to Radio MD's Bill Kleproth for more.
Children often step back or regress in a skill they've developed or behavior they've mastered. It's called regression. You know, you learn something and then you don't quite get it right, and then you keep working and then you really get it. Well, that's what it is. It's a normal part of childhood development. But in the age of COVID-19, experts say it's happening in a vast and more widespread way. Kids aren't bouncing back like they normally would. The level of stress has gone up to an enormously high level in this pandemic, and many children are struggling, says Nancy Close, an assistant professor at the Child Studies Center at the Yale School of Medicine. So what can parents do? Follow a schedule as much as you can. Acknowledge that this is hard. Offer more comfort. Give children something to control. Help them make connections between what's happening in their life and the world so they better understand what they're feeling. Stay positive and assess your own stress. Lane goes on to say, we also need to recognize the hard truth, which is we're facing stark regressions across the board, and it's going to take considerable time to catch up. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Kleproth.
A vaccine out of Oxford is generating buzz for proving beneficial to those who have taken it. Researchers previously demonstrated that the vaccine could protect subsequent exposure to the coronavirus, but the research has not been through full peer review yet. The latest results show that the vaccine is safe in humans and that it also produces a measurable immune response. Experts have reacted with cautious enthusiasm to the preliminary findings. A recent study shows that the relationship between the COVID-19 pandemic and stress cardiomyopathy, a condition people often call broken heart syndrome. The researchers identified an uptick in the number of cases recently. Scientists are slowly unraveling the full impact of COVID-19 on physical health. However, the impact of the pandemic on mental health is only now coming to focus. Broken heart syndrome occurs in response to physical or emotional stress. It's not a question that masks are now here to stay for at least the next few months. But what does wearing cloth on your face for long periods of time do to your skin? And how can you keep it healthy and clear while doing your part to fight the virus? Dr. Stacy Shimento is a dermatologist in Miami, Florida, and joined us to talk about skincare in the age of COVID. So it looks like we're all going to be wearing masks for a little longer, and I know that they affect people in different ways. Some people like them, some people don't. But how does wearing a face covering, whether you're going to the store or if you're working somewhere, you have to wear it all day, how does that affect your skin?
That's a really good question. And I've actually been getting bombarded in the office with patients coming in with various dermatological conditions from wearing these masks. You know, we know that there's important to wear, but you are correct. There's a lot of different things that can happen. I would say the most common thing that I'm seeing here in the office is what we call, now they're branded this kind of funny term, but maskne. And basically, it's breaking out all over the face, particularly the chin area, from wearing the masks. Part of it is just the rubbing of the mask on the skin, and it just creates friction and irritation and sort of just sweaty and grimy. And so patients are breaking out. I would say, that's probably the most common thing that we are seeing. But obviously, I am seeing other dermatological conditions such as contact dermatitis from the masks themselves, particularly in, I would say, like the healthcare worker population. Using those hand sanitizers all day, patients are, really kind of getting raw. Their hands are just from using all that alcohol, their hands are just getting raw. So you have irritant dermatitis as well.
So since the masks are pretty, they're kind of here to stay, what can people do to prevent that breaking out while still, of course, wearing them?
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of different masks on the market. And I know, well, we all know that probably the best thing to protect yourself would be what we call the N95 mask. So that's going to be your really go-to. But in a lot of people, we can't wear that. You know, for instance, my husband's an intensivist, an ICU doctor, and all day he has to wear that N95 mask. And he comes home with just raw irritation, more like a contact allergy. And so what I'm recommending for my patients is that, you know, any mask is a good mask at this point, but things that are a little more breathable. So sort of like in the middle, I would say things that like 100% cotton masks, where you could actually reuse them and wash them thoroughly daily. That is what I am recommending. So at least with the cotton, we know that it's really hot and sweaty here in Miami, that it's going to help to minimize the sweat accumulation with that mask. It's more breathable. It's not too tight on the face, but it is still protecting you. And it's just like dirty underwear. I tell my patients, I mean, you have to wash it every day. It's like keeping a pair of dirty underwear on your face all day if you don't wash it. Of course, you're going to get irritation and more susceptibility to bacterial infections and that pesky mask piece.
You mentioned washing hands, which, of course, is another, you know, vital way to stop the spread of the virus. But how can people prevent, you know, getting that raw, just like dry hands from washing them more than maybe you would without the virus?
That's a great question. I would say, you know, we know, you know, the evidence base now that, you know, they're saying about 70% alcohol, maybe sanitizers and things that contain about 70% propylene alcohol would be the best thing to do for antiviral prevention. But we know that just basically using plain old soap and water is really the best thing to do. So I find that if you overuse those alcohol-based hand sanitizers, you're going to be that population that's more at risk of getting more irritant hand dermatitis, contact dermatitis. I'm seeing a lot of propensity for patients to start developing, or if they've already had, more eczema flares or psoriasis flares. So plain old soap and water is really the best thing to do. And I do believe that using sort of, you know, soaps that contain, or hand, or like light moisturizers that contain ceramides, which are sort of like fatty lipids that create more like of a glue between skins to have a protective barrier to prevent further water loss and to prevent you from getting susceptibility to bacterial infections, increased viral infections, fungal infections. Those are the type of products that you want to use. So brands that I typically recommend would be either something like CeraVe, which is over-the-counter, or Eucerin. They make really nice hand and soap products that patients can use that are endorsed by the Eczema and Psoriasis Associations of Dermatology. And so I think that that would be the way to go, is just sort of minimize hand sanitizers and just wash your hands more, but with a gentle soap and cleanser.
Great. Stacey, any other tips for skincare in the age of coronavirus?
Absolutely. And one thing is, like I said, the mask me is really like the biggest thing that I'm seeing here in the office. I am telling patients, you know, it's okay to use things like benzoyl peroxide spot treatments and such on those pesky acne, but I recommend to do a lower dose. So like a 2.5% that you may find in the drugstore, nothing heavy, because you are occluding that skin with that mask. And so by doing that, you're irritating the skin more. So doing that, avoidance of retinols, avoidance of salicylic acid, glycolic acids, products that can potentially irritate the skin if you're using it too much under occlusion, that would be one of the biggest tips that I would say. And like I told you before, wash those masks. That's really going to prevent you from getting the mask me.
Absolutely. I know I have a few that I go through just because, yeah, after a wear or two, I'm like, ooh, it's kind of hot and summery here. And
exactly. They get gross. You got to
Awesome. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Thank you so much again.
Wearing a mask has, of course, changed many aspects of everyday life, but for some with hearing aids, it's even affecting their hearing. Global audiology company Signia has created a specialized mask setting to account for the audio impact of mask wearing. We talked to audiologist Dr. Tish Ramirez about these advances in hearing technology during the pandemic. All right, so let's start with masks and how wearing one affects a person with a hearing aid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as a hearing aid wearer myself, I've noticed that I've had some really challenging conversations in grocery stores and even with, you know, neighbors on the streets that are wearing masks, just because when somebody has a mask, it muffles the speech and it makes it more difficult to understand. So individuals with normal hearing can also experience some reduced audibility. I mean, you yourself may have experienced this, but if you can imagine, for somebody that has hearing loss, it's kind of a double whammy, right? So they have a really difficult time, not only because they can't hear, but the mask is covering up the mouth, so it's impossible to see those visual cues or those facial cues for somebody with hearing loss that are used to seeing that and using that to compensate for what they can't hear. So very frustrating. It's, you know, been quite a challenge. Like I said, I've experienced this myself. I almost want to purchase a mask that, you know, identifies that I have a hearing loss so that people don't think that I'm ignoring them when they say something. Because, yeah, there are times where I know somebody's speaking to me, but I may not be able to hear them very clearly.
So I know Signia has created a specialized mask setting now for the audio impact of mask wearing. How does that make it a bit easier to hear when people are talking, you know, through cloth barriers?
Yes, exactly. So with the Signia hearing aids that we offer, there is a Signia app that wearers can use. And for the most part, a lot of wearers use the app to possibly increase volume or maybe even change a program if that's how their hearing care professionals set up the hearing aids for them. But recently, as of yesterday, we have introduced a new setting that can be accessed from the main screen of the Signia app. And it's a simple icon of a person wearing a mask. And what this does is it increases the frequencies that are most affected by masks to improve audibility. So instead of increasing the overall volume, which is what the patient generally has access to, it really just increases those frequencies that are most impacted by the masks. So then this allows the wearer to, you know, engage in those active conversations a little bit better.
That's super interesting. Wow. I had no idea that's something you could kind of fix on the go like
yes.
that.
Absolutely.
So when it comes to the remote care that Signia does, I mean, how is this important both even before, but now especially during COVID-19?
That's a really good question. So yes, I would say telehealth in general has become a lot more popular amongst patients for any type of healthcare. You know, with hearing care professionals, Signia does offer a remote care option, whereas the hearing care professionals can offer a, reduced visits, face-to-face visits for their patients. So that, you know, the hearing care professional can focus on those visits that really do require face-to-face, such as a diagnostic hearing test or doing some, you know, verification on the hearing aids themselves. But anything else can be done remotely by accessing what Signia calls telecare. And with our Signia telecare, the hearing care professional can, you know, help the patient troubleshoot any issues that they may have in specific environments. They can schedule video calls or, you know, just audio calls with the patient. The patient can text their issues with their hearing care professional, and you can really stay in contact much more frequently, but it doesn't require the amount of time for somebody to get in a car and drive to an appointment. And then obviously if somebody is compromised, they don't want to take that risk to have the multiple appointments that they don't need.
Great, Tish. Is there anything else you want people to know just with, you know, how masks are impacting people with hearing issues?
No, I mean, it's something that, you know, we just want to get out there because keep in mind, you know, if you see somebody that's wearing a hearing aid, it doesn't mean that they can absolutely hear nothing. It's just that they have a little bit more difficulty hearing. And if you do have, you know, if you're trying to communicate with somebody with hearing aids, you know, just be a little bit patient, possibly increase the level of your voice so that they can understand you a little bit better. And, you know, the other thing to consider is Signia has recently introduced a new hearing aid called the Stiletto X. And this hearing aid doesn't look like a hearing aid that most people are used to. It is a unique shape and color that look more like a consumer device like AirPods than hearing aids. And you would have an opportunity as a hearing aid wearer with the Stiletto X to use the Signia app and this face mask setting with those Stiletto X hearing aids as well. So if you're having any difficulty hearing, even pre-COVID, is, you know, now with masks, please be sure to reach out to a hearing care professional near you.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or just to say hi at COVID-19 at radiomd.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.